If you would, take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, we're in the series on the promises of God. I'm probably going to detour one of these weeks and deal a little bit with an end times discussion on the battle of Gog and Magog, because I think it would be good for you to know what the Scripture says about some things in the future. And I don't want to keep us in the dark as it relates to what God has said and some things that we should be aware of in those things. But we are in the series on the precious promises of God. And God has given us lots of promises. How many of you in your lives have ever been locked out of your car? Oh, it's a wonderful thing where we can be touched with the feelings of each other's infirmities. How many of you were locked out of your car because you left your keys in the car and locked it? Yeah, most of us, right? And that's a very helpless feeling situation, unless you're a professional thief and you know how to pick locks and all those things, which I don't know how to do. So I have to call AAA, and AAA comes out. We were on vacation a couple years ago in West Virginia. We were at an activity getting ready to do it as a family. We left something in the car that we needed for the activity. Ah, it's locked. Called AAA, that's a 45-minute wait usually, and they got there, and they had the right tools to get it unlocked, and within a matter of 5 minutes, voila, I can get back into my vehicle. There are a lot of promises that are the right keys for us, but if we don't know them, we get locked out of the comforts that God has for us. Just as we are forgetful to, I left my key in the car. Now I got to get help. When we don't study God's promises and we're in that time where we need comfort, strength, reassurance, security, whatever that the Lord would provide us through the promises, and we don't know them, we don't have the key at the moment that we need to unlock what we need from God, but He's got it there. He's got the right keys there and the promises of God. We're like prisoners in the dungeon. We could be set free through a promise of Scripture in something that we're battling with internally or in our minds, but if we don't know the key, if we don't know the promise, then the liberty, we don't obtain the liberty. In our minds, and generally speaking, as Christians, we are very lazy in our minds in using the promises of God. And thus, the motivation for me personally to study them and to learn them and to teach them and equip you so that we will use them, so that our keychain, if you want to put it that way, will be full of promises to claim in all different situations of life. There may be a potent medicine in God's great pharmacy in the Scripture, but you may continue sick unless you examine and search the Scriptures to discover what God has said and promised. Just using a couple analogies tonight to help us to understand that the study that we're in is really valuable. And if you can latch on to some promises, and there's a handout. If you didn't get it last week, there are some on the table in the back that you can follow along with as we look at the promises to the believers. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, and what else? Obtained promises. How did they obtain the promises? They did it by faith. They believed what God said He would do. And they obtained them. Through faith, they obtained them. So in your promises list tonight, the handout is a 3-page handout. If you don't have one of these, I think Brother Jim's got them in the back. If you'd like to have a copy of the promises that we've handed out thus far, raise your hand. We'll get you one of those so that you can follow along tonight in the promises. We've discussed a number of them, but we're on the second page, page number 2, and we're down to the promise of working all things together for good. Some of these promises have conditions, as we've learned. That means that God puts a condition with the promise. And some of these promises don't have any conditions. They're just out of the goodness of God. By the way, all of them are the goodness of God. But some of them have conditions. The promise of working all things together for good is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. Just keep your hands up. Brother Jim's getting these to you. And you'll have a copy. But Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. Would you look at that verse with me? Paul's writing to the church at Rome. He's including himself, as we learned that John did in his epistles as he wrote about the love of God on Sunday. We learned that. Now, Paul's writing with the church, and he's saying, and we know is a word of assurance. Know is a word of certainty. Know is something that, boy, it's good to go back when you're facing things that you don't know to things that you do know. You got any don't knows right now in your life? Like, I don't know what's going to happen in this situation of my life. I don't know about how this family or this health situation is going to turn out, or you fill in the blank. Don't knows. See, preacher, what do I do when I don't know? Then you run to something that you do know. And here Paul ran and ran the church to this thought, and we know. We know what? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. All things that are taking place in your life are going to work together for good if you love God. That's a promise. It has a condition to it, but it is a promise that God is orchestrating things. I was reading about Joseph this morning in my devotions. Joseph's been through the prison. Joseph's been in the pit. Joseph's been falsely accused by Potiphar's wife in Potiphar's house. And you talk about a guy that it doesn't seem on paper got a fair shake. I mean, just bad, bad things. And Joseph says this in Genesis 41. He says he has his first child, Manasseh. And he says of Manasseh that God gave me Manasseh. He named him Manasseh because he said, God made me to forget basically the problems in my family and the toil that I have faced in life. What was he saying? Providence of God works everything for good. He names a second son in that passage, Ephraim, and he's getting ready to go into the years of famine. They've had 7 years of plenteous, but the very next verse says, hey, those are ending. And now it's famine. And he names his next son Ephraim. And the meaning of that is this. And it says, God made me to be fruitful in the land of affliction. What was Joseph saying? He knew something about God. He knew that God worked all things together for good. And so all of that's taking place. God, what in the world are you doing? And then he gets to Egypt and he's put second of command. He helps save a whole nation. He's reunited, reconciled with his family. And God put it all together. My friend, in your life, it is wise to go back to this promise at times in your life. And I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And it also brings me back to the focus of my responsibility. The big thing in my life is to what? Love God, which is the theme this year. The promise of working all things together for good. There's another promise, the promise of reward. The promise of reward, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Turn over there if you would in your Bibles, or you can follow along. The references are given in your notes. They're not printed out in your notes. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek God. Do you ever reward your children or grandchildren? They do something extra. They obey you. They keep a good heart attitude. And you want to bless them for it. You ever get that feeling in your heart? I hope you do. As parents, it's a good thing to do. What is that? Oh, that's God-like. Because God's a rewarder to his children. The Bible says here, God's a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. The condition is what? Got to diligently seek God. Diligently seek God. This promise is tied to His character. You know there are two judgment seats in the Scripture, right? Great White Throne Judgment. Don't want anybody to go there. I don't like what Putin's doing, but I don't want anybody to go there. You talk about torture. That's going to be terrible forever. Lake of fire. But we also have another judgment for the believers, right? The Bema Judgment or the Judgment Seat of Christ. What's that about? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's about rewards. God's interested in rewarding. God's keeping notes. He's keeping a ledger of your life. And as He's keeping that ledger, you have the opportunity right now to earn rewards on the other side according to that Scripture. Now, the Bible says in that passage that we're either laying up gold, silver, and precious stones, or we're laying up wood, hay, and stubble, things that are going to amount to ash in heaven, right? And so our works are going to be examined in heaven. Could I encourage you, church, tonight, be diligent in what you're going to do for God and do it now. Time's winding up. This thing's going to wrap up and it's going to be over, and your time to work for God is going to be done. Your investment in eternity, in rewards for eternity, is right now. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder of them that work for Him, but He's also a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Question: if a football player only goes to half the practices, is he considered a diligent football player? Well, we had five practices this week. He made two of them. And that continues. Is he known as a diligent football player? No, that's not going to fly. Not going to be a starter for sure. May not be on the bench with that commitment. If a student rarely studies at home, is he diligent? If a Christian rarely studies at home, is he a diligent seeking God? A diligent seeker? If a student goes unprepared to class, is he diligent? The word, the condition of this reward that the Bible's talking about is that a Christian is diligent about seeking God. And if you're diligent about seeking God, there's a promise here. He will reward you. Genesis 41 this morning. Man, He loaded my tank. I came out of time with Lord this morning, and man, I had all kinds of thoughts, and I had to share it with a couple people that some of those thoughts related to things I'm praying through with people. And you know what? He's a rewarder if you will diligently seek God. Did you know that adding to your faith requires diligence? In 2 Peter chapter 1, above all, with all diligence, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, Christian. If you want the rewards, it's going to require diligence. If the football player wants to play on the starting team and become good, you know what? He's going to be at every practice. He's going to be in the weight room. If he's in the college level or the pro level, he's going to be watching film. He's got to be diligent to have the reward of having playing time on the team. Brethren, we understand that in the world sense, but in the spiritual sense, God says it's the same thing. You want me to reward you? You diligently seek me. I ask you tonight, how diligently are you seeking God? I'm talking about beyond Wednesday night church where we pray together. Do you pray to God during the week? Are you diligently seeking Him about things in your life? Are you willing to go to the level of prayer and fasting over something and go to that level of diligence to make sure that you're hearing from God on a matter, or you're hungry for an answer to prayer on that level? Are you diligently seeking God? Those that diligently seek Him, they're rewarded. The next promise is the promise of provision. The promise of provision. Psalm chapter 24, the Bible talks about the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and all they that dwell therein. God owns it all. God owns everything. Remind you of that tonight, that my provider is not the president or the IRS or the welfare system. And neither is yours. Your provider is not ultimately a boss at work or an employer or a manager that's over you. You know who's ultimately your provider? God is. In the book of Luke, it says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor do they reap. The ravens don't put seed in the ground, and they don't reap seed out of the ground. They don't reap a harvest. Which neither have a storehouse nor a barn, they can't store up. And God feedeth them. The ravens. God's interested in feeding the ravens. By the way, God's interested in using the ravens to feed man. Look at a man by the name of Elijah. God can provide any way that he wants to. And the argument of Luke 12, how much more are ye better than the fowls? Or in other words, don't you think God looks upon you with more care than he does a raven? Is the argument of the Holy Spirit here. Hey, can't you trust in the promise of God's provision? The Bible says, thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Who does that? God does that. The promise of provision. There's some conditions with that promise. We know that when it comes to Malachi chapter 3, and it's talking about the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, he's dealing with giving, specifically tithing. Test God on that, you're going to see God provide. In Luke 6, verse number 38, give and it shall be given unto you. So there's a principle that you give and God's going to make sure. Here's a direct channel. I had somebody tell me recently, the Lord had worked in their heart over the years in missions to give what they give in tithe in missions. Now that takes a little faith to get there. If you're giving 10% of your income in tithe and you're giving another 10% of your income in missions, that means you're living on 80% of what comes in. And you know what? Inflation happens and bills come and all that stuff. And that person that shared that with me was not in any way being arrogant. What they were telling me was scripture proven, give and it shall be given unto you. And pressed down, shaken together, and running over, Luke 6 says, shall men give into your bosom. And so there's some conditions on the provision of giving, and that is tithing and giving. But by all means, don't be afraid to claim the provision, the promise of provision. Man, that's packed throughout the scriptures. I'm giving you a few examples, but that's loaded throughout the scriptures. I was praying over that this morning, over that provision thing. And here's a million Israelites. And here comes manna every day. For all of them. Enough for everybody. Falls from heaven. God took care of it. Here's the widow at Zarephath. That barrel's empty. Well, it was empty. It's empty now. I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow. Well, son, look at this. There's more cruise in the barrel. Where'd that come from? That's God. Does God do those things today? Yes, he does do those things because he owns everything and he can use any means that he wants to provide for your need and for my need. You need to be reminded of that. The promise of provision. The promise of protection, and I'll just wet your whistle on that, that his protection is all encompassing. And we're going to deal with that when we come back together next Wednesday. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Stand with me. I trust that these are enriching your heart, and I trust that you got a couple keys tonight that maybe in personal devotional time, if you have the handout, as you're praying through things, you might just need to pick up one of these keys and say, Lord, I need that one for what I'm dealing with here. His promises are precious. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.